Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit solaray.com/Astair and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any stage's formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to In Her Shoes. I'm Lindsay Peoples, and I'm editor-in-chief of The Cut. On this show, I get to talk to people that we love and admire, or some that we just find interesting. We'll explore how they found their path and what maybe have gotten in their way and how they brought others along now that they've arrived.
Journey has been on screen since before she could talk. Her career spans 3 decades, from sitcoms to thrillers to feature films. This summer, she starred in the Netflix film Spiderhead alongside Chris Hemsworth and Miles Teller. In her latest film, Lou, she plays a desperate mother on the hunt to find her kidnapped daughter. We talked about her journey through Hollywood, breaking through being pigeonholed in her career, and her new film, Lou, which is out now on Netflix. Hi, Journey. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So I always start by asking this question because the show is called In Her Shoes. So I have to ask every guest about a literal pair of shoes that you're wearing right now or your absolute favorite pair of shoes to wear currently.
Okay, I'm barefoot because I don't like people wearing shoes in my house. But from the time I was 17, the pair of shoes I would wear the most were these combat boots I bought from an army store in Santa Monica when I was like 17 years old. So beat up, but like my go-to boots for everything, traveling, put some jeans on with some holes on it, you know. And then I recently found a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes that are like
really leveled it.
A version of these army boots that I'm obsessed with. So those are now, they have now replaced my $20 pair of boots.
I love that. And what would you say it's like at this current moment to be in your shoes in this moment in life? And what is that walk been right now?
My path has been beautiful, rocky, twisted. We've had some detours that we didn't know were going to happen. You know, it's, what's the saying? You make plans and God laughs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm enjoying the scenery. I gotta say, you know, it's a hike, but my calves are strong. You know, we stay doing leg day to be able to make it up the hills and endure the rough terrain. But I'm enjoying the scenery, I gotta say.
No, that's amazing. Obviously, you've been, you know, in Hollywood for a very long time. At this point where you are in everything, how do you decide what roles you want to take or what you want to spend your time on and how you really want to move forward with everything?
Honestly, it's really about instinct. I am in such a space right now where, yes, I have done it for my entire life, literally. I've been in front of the camera since I was 10 months old.
Yeah.
But I'm in a space where I honestly feel like I've only just begun. I've only scratched the surface, which is the oddest thing to get folks to understand. And it's not really for them to understand, I guess. But I think I'm hungrier than I've ever been. I'm hungry to grow. I'm hungry to work with filmmakers that inspire me and challenge me. And I think I'm also becoming more and more in touch with what's not for me and making peace with that too.
That's heavy, yeah.
But I think I'm in that space in general in my life, not just with my career, but in all spaces, I'm understanding that if something is not helpful, productive, or nurturing, you have to let it go.
Right.
And so how do I take on characters? You know, I think I'm hungry for stuff that I haven't done yet. I'm very hungry to explore just the different sides of who we are within our womanhood, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just seeking the challenge. That's it. It's essentially that.
I love that, though, seeking the challenge. I should write that on my mantra mood board that I have at home. I will.
Oh, I love that.
But I do want to actually talk about something you have done, because Eve's Bayou turns 25 this year. Obviously, mm-hmm. such an incredible film and instant classic. I believe you were 11 at the time. 10. Wow. What do you remember about filming that? And is it weird to look back on that film and obviously just such a big cultural presence that it's had?
I wouldn't say it's weird to look back. I don't often look back until someone asks me to look back. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that, the Tribeca Film Festival had like a reunion with myself and Casey Lemons and Megan and Lynn. And one of the things Megan and I were talking about, working with Casey at such a young age and having the image of a Black woman at the helm of this story, I don't think we realized at the time how radical that was. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think one of the biggest blessings that I gained from that experience is that image of having a Black female filmmaker and that being normalized for me. It made me hold the industry to a standard subconsciously, because while it took a long time for me to then work with another Black female filmmaker, unfortunately, it was always in my head of like, well, that's what is my norm.
You know?
That's my default. I think in general, that film, working with Samuel Jackson, Casey, Lynn, Diane Carroll, you know, Debbie Morgan, all these legends, I learned so much about the craft at 10 years old. And right. I don't know that I would still be doing what I'm doing today if I hadn't done that film, because I do believe that that's when I fell in love with the craft. That's when I fell in love with the process of stepping into a character, losing yourself into a character. You know, I think it was the first time I learned the art of thinking like the character, mm-hmm. Thinking the thoughts of the character. So yeah, I think that film, Casey and Sam, you know, especially, their handprint is all on my instrument.
And what would you, I mean, since you were, you said you were 10 years old and that's so young, when did you feel like that actually set into your mind, okay, I have a different standard of what I want to do as you got older? Like, when did you feel like it resonated to you of how big of a moment that really was and the kind of roles that you really wanted to go after then in the future because of that?
I don't know that I realized necessarily how big or small it was. It's more so that it just put me in touch with a deeper level of what we were capable of as instruments, as artists, right?
Right.
And so it just made me hungry to constantly try to achieve that or experience that high that you experience as an artist. Mm-hmm. Also, I have to give my mom credit. My mom really made me study the craft and study the greats. And kind of held me to a standard, you know. She had me reading the autobiography of Katharine Hepburn when I was 13 years old. You know, I was studying the Sidney Poitiers, the Spencer Tracys, the
right.
the Gene Kellys, you know, like I probably have seen more classic films than I've seen current films. And that I have to give my mom credit. She was a bit of a cinephile, a bit of a snob in that sense. And so she instilled in me a level of taste. That's really what it is. It's not that I realized, oh, this is a moment that I have to live up to. It was more so she helped me cultivate a taste. Mm-hmm. And so while I haven't always hit the mark, I'm not going to lie, you know, it's always been my goal. I always go into a project with the desire to just tell the truth. Because these films that I grew up watching, the Paul Newmans of the world, you know, like these, the Marlon Brandos, these are actors who just try to communicate the truth.
Right. I mean, obviously, and you talking about, you know, having the right taste, but I think also, you know, the factor of that you can't control is obviously the industry has like moved in its own pace, and especially as far as diversity, that has not moved in sync, I would say, and not nearly as fast as we would like. What has that been like to be pigeonholed or audition for roles that you really want, or just feel like that needle isn't moving as much as you needed it to?
Oh, I mean, here's the thing. We've come quite a ways. However, we've got so much more work to do. I mean, I can remember moments in my career where I wanted to quit. You know, in my teens, my early 20s, I definitely had that moment where I didn't want to do it specifically because I was getting the, oh, we're not willing to go ethnic on that role, or she can't audition, but maybe if the role opens up, quote unquote, what the fuck does it mean to be closed or open? You know, it's like, and you know, the data supports how dismal it actually is. You know, it's pretty dismal for women of color, women of all kinds, but specifically, you know, women of color. You know, Stacey Smith at USC does these incredible studies, right? In order for us to be able to just have the data and be able to look at how sometimes dismal it can be in the industry. And there's a study she did recently where across the 1,500 top grossing films from 2007 to 2021, 3.4% of the leads were Black girls or women. 3.4%. Over 1,500 films. Think about that.
Very small number.
It's ridiculous. It's absurd. You know, so there's still quite a lot of work we have to do. And I try not to get too caught up in that. I try to just keep my head down and do the work.
How do you balance that, though? How do you, you know, perfect your craft and just work on being a creative in the art, but then also deal with the challenges and the realities of the industry?
You have to surround yourself with a great team. You have to, you know, for me, I'm no longer in a space where, even I think within the past year and a half, I've shifted drastically within my mentality about the industry, wanting to mount films and wanting to put films together really has become my focus right now. Not waiting for a seat at the motherfucking table, you know.
Right.
My mother always would say, you got to build your own table, you know. And so that's literally the mind space I'm in right now, where it's like, I don't really need approval to create my art. I can actually seek out the writer that I'm a fan of. I can seek out the filmmaker that I'm a fan of. I can put these things together and find myself being in that space more than ever. You know, the first film I was actually a part of the producing team was Lou. And J.J. Abrams and his whole Bad Robot team, you know, brought Allison and I on as producers. And honestly, I learned so much from him. And felt so inspired after that to just not wait, you know? So I think that's the space I'm in. Is there's so many filmmakers, there's so many content creators, there's so many folks who inspire me. And I think the more of us, you know, the more that we continue to try to usher stories forward for us by us, you know, I think that's how you change the data, essentially.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit solaray.com/Astaire and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any stage's formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
So many of your roles, though, have been, I think, very in-depth. I'm very fascinated by how transformative it is behind the scenes to really get into character. Birds of Prey, I'm thinking of, or I was a huge fan of Lovecraft Country, very sad that it's no longer on TV. I know a lot of the roles have just been so hefty. What is it like when you take on a new role, even, you know, with Lou, what was it like to get yourself in the mind frame? How different is your life when you're taking on a new role, and what is that behind the scenes?
I always start with research. I always start with asking myself certain questions and then trying to, by any means necessary, answer those questions. Who is she? What does she want? How is she going to get it? What's the environment around her? Who's her family? Who's her mama? Who's her daddy? You know, I learned something from Denzel that I still do now, and that is to know every fucking thing about your character. The things that you do not see on screen, you know, you got to know it. It doesn't really matter whether or not the audience knows it, they'll feel it. And so, for instance, with Lou, part of my research with that was I spent a lot of time at the Genesee Center, Center for Domestic Violence Survivors here in Los Angeles, an amazing organization founded by Karen Earle. And Karen gave me so much access to her and the therapists and lawyers there, but also some of the survivors that I was able to interview. And now, you know, Hannah, my character in Lou, having been a survivor of domestic violence, you know, the movie's not about that, right? Mm-hmm. It's a part of the backstory. It's a part of the plot. But for me, you know, it just was so important to try to get that right. Even if it's one scene or two scenes or whatever it is.
Right.
So I always start with research, with Letty. You know, it's a period piece. So you got to research that time. You got to research that era. It's like, okay, who were the writers, the thinkers? What kind of music was around during that time? Oh, Carmen Jones had just come out. Oh, Lorraine Hansberry was writing A Raisin in the Sun. Oh, okay. Right. It's like, you know, this is the culture that Letty is kind of being surrounded by. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she's going to have a certain bounce, a certain confidence, a certain like radical boldness. You know, my grandmother, although I never met her, she was a massive influence and inspiration for me with Letty from Lovecraft Country, you know. So, yeah, I'm one of those actors. I'm just constantly trying to pull from everywhere, everything in order to more so give me the confidence that this is truthful.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. What was it like and what really drew you to want to do Lou specifically? And I'm assuming also because, I mean, it's a film that's written and directed by women and a plot centered around a powerful woman. What was that starting process like? And for you to get involved, obviously, is producing, but also acting in it. And what was the behind the scenes of getting everything to the point where you really felt like a sense of just safety and I think just a comfortability of doing both titles and wearing both hats on the film?
It was actually my manager, Adam Marshall, who sent me the script because he was trying to educate me on the writer who wrote Lou, Maggie Kahn, who he represents. He was just sending it to me to go, hey, this is a great writer. You know, as I'm putting different projects together, I'm constantly going, okay, who writes in this genre? Who's a great mm-hmm. voice in this space? And so he was just sending it to me to educate me on her work. And then I was like, yo, she's dope, but like the role of Hannah, like, come on, man, you know, hi, hello. And I had just wrapped Lovecraft Country, and J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot, actually, they were producers on Lovecraft. And so I immediately emailed J.J. and was like, yeah, you know, hi, can I throw my hat in the ring? And, you know, he was so amazing and gracious and was like, you know, I think you're amazing. I think you'd kill it, you know, but I'm not the director. Anna's got to, you know, you've got to meet her. And so I met Anna, and I was initially attached just as an actor. But after attaching as an actor, I had, honestly, a lot of character notes for the script. And it, yeah, I got to give JJ credit. You know, he wanted to empower all of us to use our voice by having a voice at the table, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was his team who was like, you know, they offered to make me an executive producer on that. It was such a collaborative experience. You know, honestly, what I was so impressed by JJ and Hannah Mangella and John, who work at Bad Robot, was just how hands-on they were with every detail. Mm-hmm. I kid you not, like, if there was a scene that needed to be rewritten, I mean, JJ was giving notes the night before, you know? It's like that sort of thing. I was able to have a real collaborative experience with all the creatives, and I think that's why JJ's work is just so elevated, because he does not put his name on something that he's not actually involved with. He's in the soil with you. Yeah. And so, yeah, I learned quite a lot from him.
And did you feel like there was a different sense on this movie set versus others? You know, obviously when you're working on a project that has a lot of women involved versus others, was there anything special in that sense of, you know, being on a project that's led by women and woman-centered as well?
I gotta say, I've been very spoiled lately. Over the past, the last five projects, I could be wrong, but I think over the last five projects I've done, four of them were led by women.
Amazing. That's rare, though.
I just did a movie this year. I'd shot two movies back to back, both directed by women. Maggie Betts directed a movie I did this year that comes out next year with Jamie Foxx and Tommy Lee Jones. Ooh, called The Burial. Girl, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It was so much fun. You know, I play this litigator. Jamie Foxx is, you know, he's Willie Gary. it's based on a true story. And so, but he and I are adversaries in the film. So I had a lot of fun being able to, you know, be his enemy. But, you know, I've been quite spoiled lately in just working in these spaces and these environments where women are captains of the ship, and we have these incredible men as allies, as supporters, you know, J.J. Abrams on Lou, Jamie mm-hmm. Foxx and Datari Turner on The Burial. These are the experiences that ignite my excitement about the industry and where we're going.
Yeah. And you also have Black Canary coming up next year, which I'm also very excited about. If there's anything you can tell us or how you've been feeling about it or what you're excited about with it, would love to hear.
Can't say a thing.
I assume so.
I can't even confirm or deny what you just said.
That's okay, but we're still excited. And very excited for The Burial as well. That sounds incredible with Jamie Foxx and Tommy Lee Jones. So all amazing things. But I think I wanted to just close by asking a little bit more about how you have stated in our conversation, and I think a few others, just how you really, you know, are walking in the industry in a different way and no longer kind of want to do the dance of the industry. What are you hopeful about? Like, what do you hope to find in yourself or in the future as you move at your own pace and kind of do it your own way?
What am I hopeful about? I'm very hopeful about the new voices that are being ushered in. You know, Misha Green, I stay a fan of what that woman does, you know, for obvious reasons. I think she just writes Black women, women of all kinds, honestly, in such a nuanced way. I'm excited about, you know, the voices like a Maggie Betts, a Ryan Coogler, Ava DuVernay, Min Hall, who I just worked with, the director of Hala. These are voices that are centering folks who have typically been shut out from the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think the more voices that we usher forward, the more we will have a wider and expanded gaze. I am so tired of the cis white male gaze, you know, in this industry.
You and me both.
And listen, I mean, I enjoy the stories. I just am saying it shouldn't be so dominated. It shouldn't be so one-sided, right? And because I think when you look at an Issa Rae and what she did with Insecure, I mean, we see ourselves in that struggle, okay? Like, I'm just very passionate about these voices that aren't waiting for an invitation, because honestly, we all benefit from it. We just do. You know, art is so essential. And those of us who have the real blessing of doing what we do have a real responsibility to just tell the truth, you know? Yeah. It's like the James Baldwin, you know, when he talks about the integrity of an artist, mm-hmm. right? You know, and he says, it is impersonal. You know, this force you didn't ask for, this destiny which you must accept, it's mm-hmm. also your responsibility. If you survive it, if you don't cheat, if you don't lie. He says it's not only your glory, your achievement, it's almost only our only hope, right? Because an artist, he says, and only artists, have told since we have heard of man what it is like for anyone who gets to this planet and to survive it. And so I go, artists, we illuminate what it's like to be human, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I'm very excited about those who understand the responsibility and understand the real honor it is to be an artist.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited for you. Thank you again for doing this.
Thank you.
In Her Shoes is hosted by me, Lindsay Peoples. Our producer and editor for this episode is Taka Zen. Our engineer is Brandon McFarlane, and our executive producer is Hannah Rosen. The Cut is made possible by the excellent team at New York Magazine. Subscribe today at thecut.com/subscribe. I'm Lindsay Peoples, and thank you so much for listening.